read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Read, read books, books. Hold them in your hand, and you'll hippity hoppity clippity cloppity off to a different land.
Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable. Hey, how are you? Welcome back to the roundtable, and we have three booksellers from two bookstores. These are the kind of numbers that I can actually keep track of. Joining us with books that we should pay attention to, it is my absolute honor to welcome the following individuals. Susanna Hermans from Oblong Books in Rhinebeck and Millerton, New York. Thank you for being here, as always. How are you?
Good. Good morning, Joe.
It's really great to see you. We also welcome Suzanne Kulik from Battenkill Books in Cambridge. Hello.
Hello. Thank you.
It's so nice to have you here. And our old friend Heather Boyne is here from Battenkill Books of Cambridge, New York. I'm going to move this microphone down so I can actually see your face. Hello.
How are you?
Good. Mic four on that one, Michael. Okay. It is wonderful to have you all here. A lot of good books. It's the busy season. A lot of things coming out. It's really cool. We have a lot to get to. We'll do the best we can. You're up, Susanna.
All right, let's do it.
Okay.
So the first book I brought with me today is Buckeye by Patrick Ryan. You know when you discover an author and you think, oh my God, how did I not know this person existed and now I must read everything he's ever written? That's how I felt after I read Buckeye, which is, I would say, one of my favorite novels of the year. It's set primarily in the 1940s and 50s in Ohio during World War II. We're following two men and two women as they meet each other, marry each other, and go through their life as war is raging. I would say that I am not a historical fiction reader. However, this book absolutely blew my mind and made me think, oh my God, what else am I missing? It's so atmospheric. The characters are so memorable. And I can't recommend it more highly to, especially, I would say, readers of Ann Patchett, Elizabeth Strout. I truly believe it is a great American novel.
It is. It has been getting such amazing reviews. It is literally on the nightstand, and I'm looking forward to adding it and reading it. It just looks incredible. All right, Heather.
All right. Little bit different. I'm going to start out with Textile Protests, Artists, Activism, and the Historical Power of Resistance in Cloth by Julia Tristan. Tristan is a designer, maker, and an educator in stitched textiles. This book is published by the craft and art book powerhouse Batsford out of London. It is abundantly illustrated, well-researched. What I like most about this book is the fact that most artists and creators featured in it are women. The history of textiles is almost as old as that of human civilization, and the creation of textiles has historically been the purview of women. And even today, the International Labor Organization of the United Nations reports that worldwide, women represent 80% of workers in garment manufacturing. It is truly a woman's world. On the home front, crafting has regained popularity, and we've seen a resurgence of anything handmade since COVID. There are power in those numbers and this renewed interest. Textile Protest is not a how-to book. It is a survey of how textiles have been used for political protest in the 20th and 21st centuries. In the past, women have used their creativity and skills to produce suffragette banners, pride flags, memorial quilts. And recently, they have recycled clothing instead of putting it in a landfill, yarn-bombed neighborhoods, and created banners for many causes, including Black Lives Matter, the Me Too movement, and gun control. Toni Morrison once said, "This is precisely the time when artists go to work, not when everything is fine, but in times of dread, that's our job." Julia Tristan has created a handbook for what is possible once you harness the power of creativity to change the world.
Textile Protest is the name of the book, Artists, Activism, and the Historic Power of Resistance in Cloth. All right. Suzanne.
So my first book pick is a book called We'll Prescribe You a Cat.
No, still none of that. We need Mike. Can we have Mike fight? Well, you know what?
So
my first pick is a book.
Can we borrow a cup of sugar and a microphone, please? Thank you.
My first pick is a book called We'll Prescribe You a Cat by an author named Ishida Sho, translated by Shimoda E. Madison, and published by Penguin Random House. Being a cat lover who is currently without a cat, I've wanted to pick up this book since I first saw it. This book is a magical tale where individuals who truly need it are able to find this mysterious clinic called the Kokoro Clinic for the Soul. As each chapter opens, we meet a new individual who needs the help that this clinic is able to provide. These characters are prescribed a cat along with specific care instructions and necessary items. These confused individuals leave with their feline panaceas, and the results are endearing, sweet, funny, and sometimes frustrating. It is a book of healing, discovery, and hope. I loved every page of this book, and I believe others will as well, even if they have not yet met the cat that will turn them into a cat lover.
The name of the book, We'll Prescribe You a Cat. All right, Suzanne.
Okay, so next up, I have to talk about the new Ken Follett book, which goes on sale today, Circle of Days. Of course, we all know Ken as the most, like, biggest historical fiction writer maybe in the world, best known for Pillars of the Earth.
Oh, yes.
And his new book is all about Stonehenge. Ken is going to be at the Bardavon in Poughkeepsie tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, and he will be in conversation with the one and only Joe Donahue.
Wow, how did I get that gig? Wow, that's nice. It's a really interesting book, and it's big like his books are, but it's interesting. There's a great backstory here of how we get to this. These incredible mostly women who are working on trying to bring these disparate communities together. And great historical fiction, also great storytelling. And, you know, at the end of the day, you have that question of, well, how the hell did they build that thing? And then you, by the time you're done, you know how they did it.
Incredible.
It's really incredible.
We are so honored to be hosting him. He is coming over from the UK, and he's only doing 3 stops in the US. So tickets are still available, oblongbooks.com. We'd love to see you.
I mentioned this on the air yesterday. It was the three events in the entire United States of America. And one of them, right at the Bardavon with Hoblong Books and Bardavon, and I can't wait. I have a lot of questions for him,
yes.
So we look forward to it. He likes questions from the audience too. So if you want to come and ask your questions about any of his books, now's the time, and you can do that and go to oblongbooks.com and find out more. We would love to have you there tomorrow night. It's nicer when people are there. Heather.
All right. I think I'm going to go to Artwork on the Creative Life by photographer and author Sally Mann, published by Abrams. Sally Mann is best known for her black and white photographs featuring portraiture and landscapes in southern United States. She's an alumnus of the Putney School, though, and attended Bennington College in the 1970s, so I suppose we can claim her as a local artist. As a photographer, Mann has explored a wide array of subject matters and photographic techniques over her 50-year career. So she's famously or infamously known for her early photographs of her children from the 1990s show called Immediate Family, because sometimes the children were photographed nude or semi-nude. At the time, other artists and curators defended the images. Mann herself explained that she was attempting to illuminate an alternative to a saccharinely sweet image and narrative associated with childhood. And in case you think times have changed, last year she was also exhibiting at in Fort Worth, Texas, and it included some of the same images, and they were once again challenged. Readers of Artwork can find inspiration in how Mann navigates and channels her creativity through her choice of difficult subjects, Southern stereotypes, illness of her husband, and death. She does not shy away from going there to elicit emotion. She is fearless and driven, and she knows when an image has met its perfect moment. The photographer laments that she made a promise that she wouldn't write another book after her 2015 memoir, Hold Still. But she said she found herself collecting her thoughts into categories that begged for this focus exploration. The book is a combination of texts and images, man's photographs, journal entries, letters. She has much more to say, and we should listen.
All right. Artwork on the Creative Life by Sally Mann. What is that?
All right.
Yeah, you're on.
My next book is a children's picture book that has been out since 2020. It's called The Magical Yet by Angela Di Terlizzi, illustrated by Lorena Alvarez Gomez, and published by Little Brown Books. As a mom raising young kids, I have learned the importance of a growth mindset, which is the mindset that your abilities and talents are not a fixed, static, predetermined thing you must live with, but are something that you can constantly grow and develop through learning and practice. When my kids say they can't do something, I have for years reminded them that they can't do it yet, but they can learn. This book embodies that. It has beautiful, vibrant images, a comforting rhythmic cadence, and a powerful message. I even bought a copy of this book for my children's school library because I felt so strongly about it. There are two more books in this inspiring series, titled The Curious Why and most recently The Marvelous Now, both with equally important lessons.
The name of the new book is the, well, it's not a new book, but it's new to us.
Yeah.
The Magical Yet. Wonderful. Thank you very much for sharing. All right, Susanna.
Let's keep it going with kids' books. So I brought John Klassen's board book trio, Your Forest, Your Island, and Your Farm. John is a Caldecott-winning illustrator and writer of amazing children's books. He's truly one of my all-time favorites in the kids' book space. And this new collection, which will be available in a box set next week, is so beautiful. Board books, if you're not someone with young kids, are those cardboard books that are super sturdy and small and hold up to being put in mouths and being thrown around and being torn to bits. And they usually make it until your kid is old enough for paper books. We're very excited to be presenting an event with John this Thursday. It's actually an event for grown-ups. It's called The Art of the Board Book. He'll be in conversation with Brendan Wenzel, another Caldecott Honor artist. This event is going to be Thursday night at Morton Library in Rhinecliff, New York. Tickets are available at oblongbooks.com, and your ticket comes with the box set.
Very cool. It is John Klassen, and it's Your Places Board Books and Your Farm, Your Island, Your Forest, all good stuff. Okay, Heather.
All right, so I'll round it out with another children's book, Catnap by Brian Lees. Brian Lees, also a Caldecott-winning illustrator. It was inspired by Dylan, Brian's adopted Russian Blue and Siamese mix cat. Dylan has been known to disappear for hours and return in time for dinner with his whiskers full of cobwebs. The story starts with a cat taking a nap who wakes to the sound of a mouse. When the mouse magically climbs into the painting on the wall, the kitty follows. And the pursuit takes us through 9 masterpieces of art from around the world. The illustrations are a combination of Brian's drawings and photographs of various works that he has studied and faithfully reproduced. Brian says it would have been easy to create the illustrations in this book on a computer. It was a greater challenge and a whole lot more fun to see if I could actually make art and blend kittens' pursuits of mouse into them. There are a few pages at the end of the book showing the process. He encourages his young readers to make things, to practice, to learn of the different techniques. HarperCollins does a wonderful job making the cover art very clever because it looks like we are inside of a painting as well. I highly recommend it for the aspiring grade school artists and teachers and those who like picture books with few words but a wealth of detail that help tell the story.
Very cool. It is, the name of the book is Catnap, written and illustrated by Brian Wise. Okay, Suzanne.
All right, so we're going with one more picture book. This one is titled Grandmother Moon. It is written by an author named Wunanatsu Lam Kesson, illustrated by Trisha B. Waters, and published by Beaming Books. The author is a citizen of the Skaticoke tribe and is one that I had the pleasure of hearing speak a few weeks ago at a conference. I found her very moving. She brought tears to my eyes as she spoke about her inspiration for this book. It is the story of time spent with her grandmother, learning the tales of her people. Whether you are native to this land or not, I believe we can all benefit from connecting to the world around us and the land we inhabit. Her book ends with further information about some of the things that she and her grandmother discuss in the story, and it is a beautiful tale of connection through generations and one I think many readers will enjoy.
Excellent. Grandmother Moon is the name of the book. Susanna.
Okay, so keeping it going with the books for younger people, I have Reasons to Hate Me by Susan Metallo. This book is for teens, I would say 14 and up. And after yesterday's press conference, I was going to talk about this book anyway, but I feel like it's even more important to talk about this book today. This book's character, main character, is autistic, and she is a beautiful mess. It is the beginning of her senior year, the prior year. There had been some rumors about her maybe stealing someone's boyfriend, and she has been cyberbullied all summer. So she's starting the new year. She decides she's going to figure out what's going on in her life by writing a blog and talking about what happened to her, talking about what's happening in her life and how she feels about it. And the format of this book is in blog posts. And I found this book to be so much fun. This character is unlike any I've read in YA. She is super smart, super funny, really different. And she will take you right back to high school if you're a grown-up like me and make you feel all the feels. This book is extremely funny, and I think any teen will find something to love about our character, Jess.
Excellent. Reason to Hate Me by Susan Metallo. That sounds great. Excellent. Who's next? Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. my last book is Mona's Eyes, a fictional book written by French art historian Thomas Slusser. It is translated by Hildegard Searle. It's been an international bestseller and it's now available in America. So it's a story set in France in which a 10-year-old Mona is the main character. Mona's been diagnosed with a condition where she could lose her sight at any time. Her grandfather, Didi, decides to prepare her for the inevitability of this blindness. So he concocts a plan to secretly take Mona on a trip to the museum every week. At the visit, they discuss one piece of artwork. He wants his granddaughter to see the beauty of colors, the effects of light, and for her to experience through the paintings and sculptures everything that makes up the visual language of this world. Well, this is heady stuff for a 10-year-old. And Didi does not have much time to give Mona the experience of visual beauty that she can draw upon when the inevitable happens. 52 real pieces of art are discussed. The book's dust cover unfolds to reveal a two-sided spread of all of the artwork so you can refer to them. This book has the feel of the nonfiction memoir All the Beauty in the World by Patrick Bringley that came out a couple years ago, because they both use in specific works to explore the broader human experience. Art theory and analysis isn't an easy topic, but this author has discovered a way to incorporate it into a narrative. Mona's Eyes would be a good choice for a book group because there's a lot to unpack in its pages.
All right. Mona's Eyes. Thank you very much. Suzanne.
All right. So the next book I'm going to talk about is another book written by a Native American author, although this one is definitely one for adults. It is a book called The Bad Indians Book Club, Reading at the Edge of a Thousand Worlds by Patty Krawack and published by Broadleaf Books. I went to college at Arizona State University, and one of the professors who made the biggest impact on me was a women's lit professor who was of the Navajo tribe. Being exposed to looking at literature through the lens of a Native American gave me some insight and perspective I had never experienced before. This book was very similar. It's an examination of stories that explores aspects of belonging and culture, colonialism and indoctrination, science and gender, and most importantly, how what we read and what stories we tell shapes us as individuals and as a society. It is both a reading list and a challenge to look critically at the stories we are surrounded by and open our eyes to the stories of others.
The name of the book is The Bad Indians Book Club. All right, we have time for one more book, and that's you.
All right, let's do it. So my last book, we're going to do one more kids' book because I love them so darn much, is Rebecca Stead's new book, The Experiment. Rebecca is hands down one of my all-time favorite authors for any age. She is a Newbery medalist, and her new book is about a kid living in New York City. And he's like a normal kid. He's like, you know, totally normal, except that his family has a secret. And that is that they are not from Earth. But yeah.
Oh, that old gag.
Which you really kind of can't tell your friends, you know. So he's dealing with his first crush. He's dealing with all kinds of stuff going on in his life, but he also has to keep this secret. This book is an adventure story. It's great for kids who like sci-fi and fantasy books, but it's also fine for kids who aren't like super big into those genres because it is really truly grounded in our world. Rebecca is a remarkable author, and I think if you pick up any of her books for your kids, they are in for a treat.
Rebecca Stead is the author of The Experiment. All right. Anything you all would like to mention from Matt and Kill Books that's coming up?
I will just mention the last book I wanted to talk about, which is The Everlasting by Alex E. Harrow, published by Tor, and it comes out at the end of next month.
Okay, so we have some time to catch up with that one. Yeah. Excellent. And Susanna, we have the big event tomorrow night.
We got the big boy tomorrow night. We've got a lot of great events, good events coming up at Oblong. And I will also mention on October 3rd, which is a Friday night, we're doing a book fair for grownups at Rose Hill Farm in Red Hook, New York, from 4 to 7. $10 gets you in, and that $10 goes straight to a wonderful organization called For the Many that's working to fight for housing justice and immigration rights in our region. And you get to like hang out and be a grownup and have an adult beverage and like shop a book fair like you're a kid. It's going to be fun.
Oh, my God. That is so
great.
That's fantastic. That sounds great. Excellent. Well, you can find more information about all of these wonderful places by going to these following URLs. Oblongbooks.com to find out what's happening at Oblong Books and to find out about the book fair for adults, as well as the Ken Follett event happening tomorrow night at the Bardavant, and lots of other really, really cool events that are coming up. Some really, really exciting events. And you can also go to batandkillbooks.com, where always cool stuff is happening. And you can find it at batandkillbooks.com. All of our book lists are posted online at wamc.org. WAMC.org/roundtable, and you can find all of the book lists posted there. Suzanne, Heather, it's wonderful to have you all here. Thank you very much. Thank you for your book picks and making us all wish we had a book fair in our life every day.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
We'll be back right after this.